Station number 15590, Phil Plowright, Reel 13.
Mr. Plowright, Reel 13, you were telling me about a night attack when you wandered onto a...
minefield.
Onto a minefield. And you were about to tell us what the drill you were going to tell us about, and how you get off.
The drill was that you use your SMLE bayonets, the long ones that we had, the rifleman had, and prod. And everybody prods to a point where there's a single, where a single man can be picked up and a direct line taken in the way that you approached it, so that eventually you'd know that you'd be clear of mines. Mines don't go on for miles, they only go on for a number of yards. You've got to determine where they finish. And Herbert Littlewood was in front of me, and he prodded his way back, and they actually found some. And men were ripping letters up and marking white where they were, so that people coming on could see where the mine actually was and step over it. And we dug the whole two platoons off there.
How badly wounded was Major Williams?
Yeah, wounds to his foot. I've never seen him since. I don't know actually what happened to him. But I remember him making that remark. Shut that man up. It's a terrible, terrible thing on a minefield. It's, you lose all your equilibrium and your good sense. Then your panic's over, then you've got to think it out then. So I stayed still until Herbert had starting to make his move, and then I got the central point. I was further back than Herbert, was further up than me. And we got to a point where we reckoned that we were getting free. And the whole 30 or 40 men single-filed it off the minefield.
The way you worked out.
Yeah. Mm.
So you took your bayonet in, prodding, and then you'd feel the mine.
Yes, you just...
I wouldn't set it off, though.
No. No, you don't. You don't sort of... You just go... Yeah, you feel when the ground is soft, because where the mine is, because the ground would be softer having excavated. To put the mine in and cover it up, you could actually feel it. So it was a very gentle operation. Very, very gentle.
How deep were they?
Just under the surface. We didn't prod down on the top. We came from the side, if you like, or from
parallel.
The... From
not quite parallel.
Right, yes. And we cleared, moved enough ground. The man in front prodding with a bayonet, he was a slow job. Only 6 inches at a time. It took us all night to get off. And there'd only be a few mines there.
And how wide a channel were you working on about?
On a footpath.
So about a yard?
Less than that. For one single file. The platoons filed their way off on a single track.
Both of them?
Yeah.
So Herbert would be first. And would you be prodding as well behind?
I was... When Herbert was approaching me, we took over. We knew we were safe there because we'd got there. We hadn't encountered mines, but we had to make a one track then to get a way off. And this is what we did. Because the terrible thing with shoe mines, they're worse than the anti-tank mines, as far as infantry are concerned, infantry man standing on an
field of fire.
Counterattacks.
So, but what were you trying? What was a good field of fire?
One where you could get a good view, where there's plenty. No good having a. Well, obviously, you know, you wouldn't put him at the back of a wall. Back of a wood or anything like that. You try to get as much view as you possibly could.
So you decide then, what else
yeah,
would you do?
You'd check your casualties, the roll call, and report, and then report.
Would you do things like knocking holes in walls or checking windows and that sort of thing?
No, no, no.
Right, any other incidents you remember from the time before you went to Greece? Because it got right into winter, didn't it?
Mm. Yeah. I remember the cold, the rain, the sludge. You see, it hampered everybody. Slowed the advances up because you couldn't use tanks in the sludge and all that sort of thing. It soon turned from hot, dry conditions to very wet, cold ones. We used to wear overcoats continuously, just lie down and sleep in them. Never take them off. It was never, and in fact, put gas capes on top of overcoats. Use gas capes for what they weren't intended to keep the rain off.
What about other things like conditions? I mean, you mentioned you lost a lot of weight. Did you get enough food to eat? Rations, was that coming up all right?
Yes, we got. Yeah, they did look after us as far as saying that we had food, but it was the monotony of it that was the awful thing. It was always McConaughey's. When the cooks could do it, it was always McConaughey's. Tins of the meat and veg, pile them into a big tin and hot them up and then bring them out to us and dish them out into your mess tin. It was that sort of thing that that we got complaints, like stomach complaints, and because you couldn't keep your mess tins clean. You just used them, and then until you came to a stream or something like that, you got to just shove them back into your pack, big pack. And some men didn't have mess tins. They had a mug and they used that for the McConaughey's and then back for the tea. And the tin, it was said that there was so much of the brown stuff around your cup that if you put hot water in it, it would make tea anyway.
Well, you mentioned you got dysentery. Did most of the men get dysentery?
No. Not all of them. Several of them did.
And you put this down to dirty
men? Yeah, I reckon, yes.
How bad did you get it?
Not bad at all. Some men had dysentery and it really hospitalised them for that reason alone. I just got a mild taste of it, that was all, just a mild attack of it.
What about overall morale? I mean, was that low in that winter?
No, we were together. We made the most of off-duty periods. When I say off-duty, I mean when we were out the line, when we could. We made the most of it, and we made the most of it together.
What sort of things did you do out the line?
Well, there was. We had concerts to organise, boozing, and always plenty of vino and what have you. And we used to go on a buying expedition. You'd buy chickens, anything, you know, you'd send a jeep out and get as much as you could and have a good old belly full there. Plenty of wines and that sort of thing.
Were you drinking more, do you think, than you ever had?
I didn't drink a lot, actually. I wonder, some of these blokes went paralytic. I didn't. I'm not saying that because I'm a good goody-goody. I just didn't want to. I'd not been used to drinking. I liked to drink a beer when I was thirsty, but I wouldn't dream of drinking it for the sheer joy of drinking it. I joined in when they were socialising and that, but I went back to Rome on leave once. Came out the line and went to Rome.
And
Well, the first thing you do is, when they know who's going from the platoon, they hand in all their souvenirs. We got Lugers, compasses, watches, cap badges, buttons, and you get back to Rome, and the first thing, as soon as you get off at the transit camp, are the Americans buying souvenirs. And we got a real old pile, and you were entrusted with the wad, and when you got back, you paid them out. The money was important to them.
What did you do in Rome?
I had my photograph taken. I went to the Vatican, St. Peter's. I saw the, what do you call it, where they had the games?
Colosseum.
I looked at the shocking state of the streets all around the back of the wonderful facades. I was quite not impressed. It certainly did impress me to see the open sewers running down the streets at the back of the Vatican, in wonderful buildings, and all these terrible streets at the back. What else did I do? You know, I saw the fountains of Treviso. I had a lovely week there sightseeing. I used to go into the Warrant Officers and Sergeants Club and listen to the orchestra playing music. I even had a go on piano there. I think that was the first thing I wanted to do. I would try to make some music.
You mentioned organising concerts, but while you were, you know, for August to December, would you have much time, even out of the line, for your little concert party, or...?
Oh, yeah, we could soon knock a concert up. People wanted to be entertained and to entertain. If you had any sort of talent, you wanted to put it on show. You can't share talent by yourself. I mean, I could play the piano, but I wanted to share it. I wanted an audience, if you like. I wanted the applause. It's something that's peculiar to being an artist, even in my humble form. You've got to distribute it, I think, and to enjoy it to its full.
So the concert parties carried on that you'd started with people like Wally Binns?
Yes. Yes, they carried on right through until we got to Austria when we were demobbed, or when the demobilisation started.
Now, what about the last action you remember in Italy, or the last actions? Remember?
I remember being in a particular action. I don't recall where it was or what we were doing, but I can remember that I was getting the word that we're pulling back. We were pulling back. Great relief. We were pulling back. Which meant that another div or whatever were going to come through us and carry on the attack. And we pulled out right beyond where we would normally stop if we were just being prepared for pushing on again. We went back and back, and then when we got out of the immediate area of artillery in that range, we got onto troop carriers, and we moved back. I don't know how far it would be. We were fed and moved back again, and we got to Taranto. Came back to Taranto. We knew by then that we were going to Greece.
What did you think of that?
Thought it marvellous. Funnily enough, there'd been something happening there in Pantelleria. The Germans were on Pantelleria, and that had been invaded, and we thought we were going on another invasion. We didn't know really that Greece had been sort of taken over, if you like, by the.
You still thought it was marvellous?
Yes. Yeah.
Why was that?
Well, it was a change from what we'd been doing for a long time. Anything would be marvellous to get away from that.
What do you remember about the voyage across to Greece?
It was on a merchant ship, quite small, I think, and there were quite a few hundreds of us on it, but we weren't on long enough to be uncomfortable. It wasn't, for instance, anything like the journey out to the Mediterranean when we first went to Africa. Nothing like that at all. And we landed at now then, I can't remember, but it was not far from Athens. It wasn't Piraeus. It was, I'd forgotten about that now.
All right.
And we were unloading kit bags and things and passing them from the boat onto the landing stages because the boat couldn't get near enough due to its size. And it was a human chain, and the weather was warm, and people were reading the kit bags. Captain so-and-so, and instead of passing it overhead, they were passing it under the water, giving it a dip in the water, and then passing it on. I didn't have any problems with that. All my gear arrived safely, so I got to assume that mine was going to be all right. Our company went to a little village called Vouliagmeni.
Do you know how to spell it, or anything like that?
Yes, it's Vouliagmeni. Vouliagmeni, I remember that particularly.
And whereabouts was that?
It was on the coast, about 30-odd miles from Athens, because people used to come from Athens to this little fishing village for a weekend. There were various villas and things, but our company had taken over most of the villas, and that's where we were billeted. On the front there, on the bay, very, very picturesque, there was a number of old cafes that were... And some of them were still in use, and the fishermen used to go out to fish and bring their catch into the cafes and have them cooked and stop their eating and drinking ouzo, stuff like that. And we used to join them, obviously. But Vouliagmeni and Greece were very vivid to me because that was where I... got my reputation as the battalion sports champion.
Now, before we go into that, were you aware of why you were there, of the conflict with ELAS and the sort of situation that was going on?
Yes.
Could you fill us in on what you understood the situation to be?
I don't remember all the politics of it, but ELAS was the communist element of the Greek. And they'd been fighting on the side of the Germans when the Germans were occupying Greece. And they'd got a lot of caches of ammo and weapons, and our job primarily was to round these people up, the ones that were left in our areas, and getting the weapon caches and getting them disposed of. I don't remember much about it after that. There was no sort of hostility or anything of that sort.
Did you go on any of these searches?
Yes.
What were they like? Were they house to house?
We heard about various people and picked up from intelligence, as I remember, and the patrols went in and... that led to where the weapons storages were, and they were just taken in and handed over. I don't know what happened to them after that. It seemed a far cry from Italy and living in this lovely place, Vulliagmeni, on the bay where we could swim and all that sort of thing, which was certainly very nice, so that the thought of anything unpleasant didn't have much impact, or it didn't seem to do.
Nothing happened?
No. No, nothing happened.
Where were you actually billeted?
In Vulliagmeni, we had a villa, one that had been, it was a summer villa, obviously, for people that were wealthy and lived in Athens, and they'd obviously come out to the coast for a holiday, a weekend, so, like these timeshares we have now. And it was very comfortable and sunny, and there was a veranda, and we lived pretty nicely there.
And the troubles didn't really affect you then?
No.
So we'll move on to your sports thing.
Not a bit.
That's where you got your reputation.
Yes, it was.
Tell me about that, what happened.
Well, it started off as a battalion. The commanding officer said we'd have some sports. So the battalion sports took place, and I seemed to win quite a lot of stuff there. I think I won 7 events.
What events would you have at the battalion sports?
We had, we didn't have meters, we had yards then, of course. There was 100 yards. Reg Markham won that. I won the 220, the 440. Took part in the relay. We won that. Our company won that. I won putting the shot, throwing the hammer, the high jump, and throwing the cricket ball. There are photographs to record all these in the battalion blow-up thing. They've got a video of it now, so that it goes through the whole lot and you can see the things blown up and presented. It looks quite good, quite impressive. And then we were going to have the brigade sports, and the commanding officer was very optimistic about winning, and Major Lord, who is a great guy, he was our second in command. He was a great sports enthusiast, and the sports team got together at Vulliagmeni. They came in from all the battalion, from all the companies, and they were under him and me, and we did training and preparation for this brigade sports.
How did you train?
We did runs, swimming, mostly runs, exercises and that sort of thing. There's nothing sophisticated such as they have in these sort of days, but it was very nice, very pleasant. And we trained for the brigade sports, and they took place in Athens on an area adjacent to the Olympic Stadium. And I won a few events on that day, and that's where I got the reputation of the... And I didn't have any... I always liked sport. Hard to get going. And however, I did all right, and I've got a... There's a nice reference to it on the videos and photographs showing me as the brigade sports champion, and that I became known for that.
Did you compete at a higher level than that, or was that as far as it went?
There were some sports later in Graz, in Austria.
Right, we'll come to that then.
Mm, yes.
What else do you remember about your time in Vulliagmeni? Did you stay there throughout? Because you got there in about December, I think.
I don't remember when the time we got there. The weather was very nice anyway. I don't even remember how long we were there. But we left ultimately, and...
Anything else you remember about your time
there? No, there was nothing, but it was pleasant, very pleasant, with the sports training and the swimming and drinking the local wines and that sort of thing.
Was there any trouble with, drunkenness from some of the men with
quite
strong stuff?
No, well, I didn't see it. There may have been, but no, it was pretty orderly, I think. Certainly in our company they were. We didn't come across any nasty scenes. I don't remember any, anyway.
And you got on, from the sound of it, reasonably well with the local Greek civilians.
Yes, there was an interesting story. There was a... In the village... One of the cafes was on the front, was occupied by an Italian. And obviously he'd been there a lot of years. He'd come from Italy and he'd got this little cafe on the front there. And the local fishermen didn't go in there with their catch. And it turned out that when the Germans were there, the Italian bloke had been very much opposed to them. He didn't cooperate with them, with the Germans, in any way. But the other cafe owners did. And when the war ended, this Italian bloke, the padrone, we used to call him, he hadn't got much custom, and we sort of frequented that place because he was an Allied sympathiser rather than a German collaborator. And he wouldn't have any of the locals in his place at all. No, he was calling them all the names under the sun because they'd been collaborating with the Germans, and they were a bit shamefaced about it, and they didn't go in there for that reason. But by and large, they were rather nice. The Greek people were rather nice. They were gentle and that sort of thing. They weren't violent or anything of that sort. But they were country people that lived in the village. They weren't Athenians or anything like that. I went to Athens and I saw the Parthenon and the Acropolis and had a good look round in Athens. Quite impressed with that, certainly with the historical side of it.
So the next thing would be the return to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
February, March, I'm not quite sure myself. Mm. I can look that up.
Yes.
Anything special about the journey back?
No, I don't have anything special about that.
How did you feel about going back?
I think we were all a bit shot at because the war was still on, of course, but we knew that they'd moved on a lot since we came out the line. But we weren't all that enthusiastic about going back. And people were certainly very sad about it, if sad's the right word. They weren't very pleased about it anyway. And we got back to, we landed at Taranto again. And we stayed there for a day or two, and then we started to move out. I remember in Taranto, there was a bloke that we'd had, I'm not sure that I mentioned him when in the early part of the tapes, I've called Albert Fallows, and he had an impediment in his speech. It sort of came from the nose rather than mouth. But he was a very good soldier, he was a corporal. And he'd been put on a lot for patrols and things when we were round Mount Camino, round opposite Casino. And on one occasion, he was ordered to do a patrol and he refused to do it. He said he'd had one every night for so many weeks and he was getting a bit tired of it and he wouldn't do it. Yet everybody liked Fallows. And we'd heard that he was in a detention camp at Taranto, and some of the boys went off to see him, and they actually found him. They took him some cigarettes, and they didn't see him face to face. They were passing them under a wire or something, but they actually saw him and reported that he was all right. He hadn't been shot or anything for desertion. That's about the only thing I remember about it.